Meeting to order, welcome back, and we will have an opportunity for our three new commissioners to introduce themselves later in our agenda. I will hand it over next to Commissioner Sandy Stang to lead us in the inspiration.
Good morning, everyone. I have this great book that I found. Thank you and appreciation of all that you do. These are like proverbs, which I kind of like. First section is on helping. So the only people to give even more are those who have helped us. We're all here on earth to help others. What on earth the others are here for, I don't know. When someone is in trouble, don't annoy him by asking if there is anything you can do. Think of something appropriate and just do it. Many are called, but few get up. If love is truly a verb, if help is a verb, if forgiveness is a verb, if kindness is a verb, then you can do something about it. Do it now, call now, go now, give now.
Yes, amen.
Wonderful, thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's why we are all here.
Exactly.
Yeah, amazing people. All right, now we will turn it over to Nathan Still to lead us in the pledge of allegiance.
Open your heart, please, and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Nathan. All right, and now we are on to item number 4, which is roll call with the
club. Now let's see what. It's getting smaller and smaller. Start with Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Debbie Baker. We've got Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Laval Brewer. Art Brum.
Yo.
Elizabeth Music.
Here.
Jerry King.
Present.
Meredith Chalini.
Present.
The next. Ujitani.
Present.
Elaine Genoway. Howard Hart.
Here.
Gene Hernandez.
I am present.
Richard Hernandez.
Here.
Kent Ingman.
Here.
Jackie Kim.
Here.
Marianne Klinger. Beck Levine.
Levin. Present.
Yeah. David Lopez,
present.
Crystal Miles. Patty Mutan.
Present.
I sit where I'm told.
Oh.
I never see the people behind the pole over there.
Ann Munder.
Present.
Johnny Nichols.
Barely.
TGI. Yeah.
Rachel Owens.
Here.
John Pointer.
I'm here.
County Seminar here. Barbara Sloan.
Present.
Sandy Stan.
Here.
Nathan Steele.
Here.
Dave Wheeler.
Here.
And then sure, we have a call.
Thank you. And I will move on again back to Dave Tesla for secretary comments. And I know that people are interested in what much we had.
You'll notice on the back side or the front side, there's instructions to repeat what we had when we changed over to the title and just continue to the other subcommittees. For this month, I would like you to save time to put both June and July. So if we can do that, I got a good example from Elizabeth. She put in the hours for June, listed underneath that the hours for July. So I'll try and get both months on there and I'll incorporate them into the recordings. So June and July. But we were dark in July, so you would list the other activities that you had affiliated with the aging.
An activity, for example, that's 24 hours every month, we can just write times two. Or do you actually have to see it under the June heading and under the July?
It's helpful if you list separately.
Okay, thank you.
It saves me time to try to calculate the hours by month. So I'll list the hours by month by person. Any questions?
If I wasn't here in June, what are
Well, if you have any, just put June zero. But if you have other activities that you were involved in, it doesn't necessarily have to be just this meeting. It can be other activities associated with Office on Aging or associated with the duties assigned to as the advisory commission.
All right.
And if you wanted to just list it, June, X number of hours, July, X number of hours, you don't have to go into too much detail.
That's semi-related. I noticed that our signs still say SCAC. Are we looking to update those?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. The signs leading in still say SCAC. Are we looking to update those?
Yeah, I can let Elizabeth know so that way she can verify Easter Seals have a change. Okay, thank you.
What signs
do we still say?
Okay. There we go there.
Thank you. And then when you're done, you can pass them and we'll have them today. Thank you so much, Dave. All right. Now we are on public comments. Do we have any members of the public? Okay, thank you. And now we will go to introductions. I am really pleased to say that we have three new commissioners with us, and I would like to invite you to introduce yourself, why you're here, what your interest is in older adult services. First would be Art Brown.
Art Brown, City of Buena Park, representing the 4th Supervisorial District. Been on the council 32 years, very involved in the senior center all those years. Figured I'd get off the council this December. I need something to do, and helping the seniors ought to be the best thing.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. We're glad that you're here. All right, next would be Richard Hernandez.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be here. Involved in stuff all my life, and so I thought, why not do it when I'm old? Born and raised in Santa Ana, and currently live in Tustin, been there about 30 years. Active in other organizations, like I said, friends of the library at Rochelle College, where I worked for 36 years, heavily involved in my church and other stuff along the way. So. Pleased to be here.
Well, you are with a bunch of like-minded people involved in lots of stuff, so we're glad that you're here. All right, and then Jackie Kim.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Jackie. I work for a home care and care management company in Irvine, all of Orange County, Ponderosa. And I'm always out in the community learning about resources, whether that's And I want to be able to share what I learned and also to adapt what I learned from this organization back to the seniors that we're able to help.
Well, welcome to all three of you. We're so glad that you're here joining us in our important work. All right, now I will pass it to Sandy or Barbara to introduce our wonderful guest speaker.
We heard Eric Enzo speak back when we had outside of transportation, and it was an excellent presentation on veterans. You know, you think you know all this stuff, and then Eric comes and it's like, I have a friend that's 100% disabled, and I thought, okay, he's on total disability. Eric let me know there's more beyond 100% disability. So we wanted to bring him back. He's a great background. He's been working with the Veterans Services for quite a while. And take it away.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for having me here today. This has been a pleasure. So how many other veterans are in the room today? You guys spoke to me. Thank you for your service as well. Did I get your service?
In the Air Force and Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah, you did it all. I was Navy, Colorado Navy, so you've probably seen a lot. I'm hoping to just be able to do a high-level general presentation on benefits that are available to veterans in our county, but our office serves every veteran. We're mandated by statute to actually serve every veteran along with their family members and survivors. A little bit about our county veteran service office. Me and my staff are actively engaged in making sure that veterans and dependents can have access to benefits that veterans have earned based on the drawdown of federal benefits from the Office of Veterans Affairs. There are also state and local benefits that we want to ensure that veterans and their family members have access to informed county as well as state. A lot of DSO, this is something I found out just recently in this past year. The county established a Veterans Service Office back in 1929. It started out as a small program that eventually grew in 1945. It established its own independent program called Orange County Veterans Service Office, which is what we have today. So this is a little bit of the landscape that's here statewide for the state of California, but I can say that throughout the nation, these percentages are very clear about each period of service. The percentage of veterans who actually have access to their benefits. In the state of California, less than 4% of veterans in the state are actually accessing their benefits through either the federal VA or the Benefits Administration or health.
You said that percentage?
4% of the population.
Sorry. Misheard that.
You thought it was 40%? Yeah. Four. Single digits. So our organizational structure. So we have our director from the Veterans Service Office, which is Claudia. Then I report directly to Claudia. And I have currently 10 claims representative, a supervisor position, and now recently we just got awarded this mental health services navigator grant from the state to be able to assist aging veterans and also veterans with disabilities. Try and manage it through access to resources throughout the county.
Quick question, because I know that one of my colleagues at DMC works with veterans. Does DMC's ILS instructor fit anywhere in here, or is that separate?
DMC, so they're a community partner. I think that's the greatest thing about our connection to communities that are our partnerships and that have access to us and can make those referrals.
Thank you so much. Sorry, I'm going to add a little thing in terms of collaborations. One of the things that we are definitely emphasizing as we look at opportunities, whether they're grants or opportunities with our community-based organizations and partners, one of the partnerships is with the Dale McIntosh Center specifically.
They are our partners through the Aging Disability Resource Connection. Those grants promote that no wrong door access, right, and linkages to services. So one of the partnerships is the ADRC grant funds allow for a staff member to support the Veteran Service Office to make that direct connection with the aging network. That includes Office on Aging, the McIntosh Center, and several other community organizations within our community, so that we can make sure that we're linking not just our older adults, their caregivers, adults with disabilities, but also our veterans to their much needed additional supportive services. And that actually includes VET, which I'm sure you'll touch on.
Which is the biggest in this spot. So we do have a Veterans of Employment Program as well tied to the VSO. So a little bit about me. I served in the United States Navy for 8 years. I was tied to combat systems and sonar tech, served during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I've been actually doing this work for over 15 years. I was county VSO in two other counties in Oregon before coming here to California. I've been accredited back since 2011 to represent veterans before the government. So our claim trust has a response. Yes.
I'm sorry, could you speak louder? Sometimes your voice fades out for us in the back.
Okay, sorry to do that. I'll do my best.
Thank you.
And could you also scoot over so I can see you?
Oh, you want to see me? This pole is in the way, so I hope
everyone.
No. Yeah, that can't see me because the hole is in the right line. So, like my staff, the Veterans Claims Representative, so they're responsible for being accredited to represent before the federal VA. We fall under the VA's Office of General Counsel. They are responsible for understanding the laws. Our Title 38 of the United States Code is what mandates how we represent veterans before the federal VA. So we do have a lot of people out assisting veterans with filing claims, but to physically represent before the federal VA and file claims, and potentially if there's an adverse action taken by VA, my staff and I can actually prepare legal briefs to be able to represent that client and advocate them for access to their benefits if VA has essentially denied those benefits in the past. That includes access to health care. So, We do a lot broadly to try and make sure veterans and their family members have access to the benefits that they want. This is a little high level. Our service system for veterans, you'll see the federal VA, the California Department of Veterans Affairs is a power of attorney that we act under for the state. They technically have the overall Department of Veterans Affairs for California has the overall jurisdiction for powers of attorney. I'm a cross-accredited claims representative as well. So I'm a nationally accredited under four different organizations: American Legion, DAV, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and National County Veterans Service Officers Association. So I serve veterans broadly outside of just the state of California. Yes.
I think there are no other questions, but real quick. For the veteran claim representative role, for example, that an insurance has denied a veteran's claim for a piece of durable medical equipment, is that something that you can assist with?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. And that's the aspect of being familiar with the Code of Federal Regulations to make sure that everything aligns for those veterans or potentially their family members, because their VA healthcare has a family caregiver support program that is a paid person, a family member, to actually take care of either aging veterans inside the home.
I'm stuck on the number 4%. Did I understand correctly that that's the percentage of people availing themselves of what you're presenting today?
Who in the state of California, that is the number statewide of those veterans in the state who actually access the drawdown of those federal benefits.
So with all the respect for the Marbury program, are you going to address today what we're doing to bring that number up?
Well, I could do it. My theory of how to do it is not necessarily, it's going to work for our jurisdiction, but because it have act as a liaison between the federal VA as well as the state director of the Department of Veterans Affairs, we do have a collaboration conversation with all of our counties to try and make a footprint so veterans can have easier access. This is one of those opportunities to come in here so all of you can also spread the word on how to access those benefits through our office. So it's a little bit of a capacity building process through between all of our agencies to get that done. And it all starts with access. If people have information to even get access, they're going to get to it. And that's historically throughout the nation. That's not just unique to California.
Derek, let us know if you want us to hold our questions till the end.
Oh, it's all right. It helped me get through a lot of these slides that we're going to have. So community-based organizations. So our credit service system is pretty broad. A lot of our community-based organizations are aware of what we do. They make referrals. We have an online appointment system. We have open walk-ins in our office with our own grant. And we also do things virtually. So people don't physically have to come to our office to get service. We can actually have a conversation over the phone and actually represent them with one or the type of play. So Betty, veteran services benefits. We have a multitude. I could spend all day telling you the types of benefits that veterans have access to. We make referrals for Relay through our grant, which is our Mental Health Services Act grant, partner with the Veterans Legal Institute to do so. We also partner with our counties, Orange County, OC for Vets, to be able to address any mental health. One of the purposes of our Mental Health Navigator is to be able to leverage a lot of that information and do some case management for those folks who are having difficulty navigating our whole system of care. And staying abreast of that and connecting our partners is going to be a huge opportunity for this new staff. The veterans benefits, disability claims, we call it compensation. There's also access to dependents and indemnity compensation, which is a benefit for surviving spouses of veterans who were passed away from service-connected causes or service-related disabilities. There's also non-service-connected pension and survivor's pension. That is a needs-based benefit. It's a challenging one because most people are going to be over-income to meet that threshold. A lot of the services and organizations in the community refer to it as aid in attendance. Aid in attendance is not a separate benefit. It's basically an increased benefit to help a person who needs a higher level of care or who needs assistance with a minimum of two activities a day or limit. By design, is to also try and keep the veteran or surviving spouse in the home so that they can continue to thrive as opposed to paying thoughts about the pocket cost going into a facility. We also have education benefits. Those are education benefits through the federal VA, but we also have our college tuition fee waiver, which is something that our office approves for veterans and dependents to have fees waived at any community college, Cal State University, or UC campus. We don't make a determination on what fees are waived. That's between the campus, but we do approve a letter that allows those dependents to actually get access. So a veteran employment program. They are funded under Department of Labor drawdown funds called WIO, Workforce Innovations Act funding, to be able to make sure veterans and their families have access to our one-stop services, but also be able to access the workforce and be able to compete for those jobs that are in the community at a higher paying wage. One thing about this program, initially, we were having a lot of transitioning servicemen and women who were getting out of service who were finding difficulty either competing in the workforce for whatever reason, either not having the skill sets prior to leaving service, or if they're just having a difficulty navigating services. So we tried to bridge the Veterans Employment Program with the VSO to allow veterans to also get access to the benefits from for disability claims, but also to be able to connect them to our workforce process. EDRC is funded, as mentioned earlier, the no wrong door approach to making sure our older veterans have access, equitable access to all of our services. Dale McIntosh, again, all of you have connections in the community, get a chance to get a very important role to this because we have a dedicated call line for veterans. And that call, that veterans phone representative can take in all types of calls to be able to make sure to get access not just to our office, but to our aging services, as well as to some of the other benefits within our division. How many people have heard about service connected disability plans? That's the challenge. Most people think of disability plans, we refer to it as injuries that someone may have sustained while on active duty. They have a legal right to file for benefits for in the line of duty or active duty injury, however small, that is a chronic and continuous condition since leaving service. We have a lot of veterans, and the reason why we have less than 4% of our veterans accessing those benefits is because we presume that this is a challenging piece. The challenge is really getting access. As long as they can get to our office, we will find some legal way of making sure that those benefits that they are entitled to because of those injuries are actualized through us. Yes, ma'am.
If we put in a claim that was denied, could we try to submit a claim again?
You can. There's a process to do so. There's either a request for a supplemental where there's additional evidence that's required to support the claim, or just flat out reopening the claim. Again, we don't just file claims. We try to make sure the claims themselves understand the laws and the VA's process so that they can always prevail on all issues or whatever it may be. The VA has made it very easy for folks to reopen previously denied claims going back as far as 20, 30, 40 years. So the intent is to make sure they get that access to us to explain that process and also potentially reopen claims.
Does this particular benefit, is it similar to, for example, like an SDI benefit where there's a certain amount of time lapse where you, like after that time has lapsed, you can't file for the benefit? For example, if someone has PTSD and they don't get treatment for a number of years and then they decide they want to get treatment, can they still access that, I guess?
They can. And again, there's no timeline per se. So the person many years have been denied for a benefit, they can come back to the table and reopen those claims as long as it meets the substantive threshold that VA looks for to reopen the claim. We create the argument behind it to support that individual. So a lot of our veterans, especially if it's behavioral health, may not get access for many years, decades of them. So in doing so, we do encourage them to get treatment. But there is no law within Title 38 that says they have to get treatment. It's tied to what was the incident service that's contributed to the condition. Yes, ma'am.
How do you address the problem that some veterans are reluctant to ask for help?
And that is an amazing, it's a great question because that if they can get to us, we're very convincing about how to help them file those claims. And yes, a lot of our veterans do not ask for help. That's a pride issue. I think, you know, as I talk to a lot of veterans in the community, I am very candid about getting over that pride part to be able to get access to a lot of things. And a lot of veterans are not getting access based on the things that they've done in service. It starts with the information that's provided them at the time. I think a lot of folks typically when it comes to disability benefits are looking at how VA was 15, 20 years ago. The VA is not that anymore. I mean, they're very vet-centric and trying to make sure veterans have access, but also that their dependents also have access. So again, I think for our office and previous offices where I had a navigator. The navigator being out in the community to share some of that information about what it is that we do and how it is that we become advocates for them before the federal VA. That helps support them.
And we do have that or don't have that here?
We do have that. That is like an amazing staple for us to be able to do so.
With the claims disability, mine was denied based on time frame and so forth. But my question is, who does the evaluation? Are they independent third party? Are they former veterans, physicians? Who are the ones that do the evaluation?
So the United States Department of Veterans Affairs have contracted four different agencies to actually perform the evaluations. And these, we call them compensation and pension exams. Those evaluations, they have to meet three criteria. There has to be evidence of an in-service event before VA can even start to consider it. The second one is there has to be a disability or the ability to get a diagnosis on a disability. Those examiners take all of this information and they put it together to create what's called a nexus or a medical link to service. And you look at the incident, disability, and you draw a conclusion based on medical facts as to whether or not that disability is related to the injury. It then goes back to the VA to make a determination based on the facts of law to grant that benefit. Most veterans fail on the disability claim because of the nexus opinion. It's still not game over at that point. They get to get to us, we get to analyze and do the same thing that the VA's done and determine whether or not what evidence is going to be needed to support the claim. So I always encourage veterans and their family members to stay with it until they feel like they're done. My longest claim that I got adjudicated was 45 years old. So it is never over. It's just a matter of making sure everything aligns so that they can prevent. I can do this all day. medical care. So we do a couple of different things. We do VA healthcare as well. We do the enrollments for healthcare. I mentioned earlier that the Family Caregiver Support Program, I think it's a huge opportunity for family members to take care of veterans inside the home and actually be compensated because they sacrifice so much. They sacrifice jobs and they sacrifice careers in some way to make sure that they take care of the veterans. So healthcare enrollment, every veteran is potentially eligible for enrollment. It is one of the things that veterans don't do well, is getting access to healthcare. We also do burial plots. We ask for headstones if there's a need for them. We ask for placement in certain VA cemeteries to try and make sure that we cover everything. We can actually do life insurance claims as well as homeowners. We try to get involved in a lot of it. Our office here, my staff doesn't get involved with a lot of it just yet. But if someone comes in the office and we want to have access to some of that information, we do assist with that. As I mentioned, pension is a need-based benefit. It is probably the most challenging benefit to get because they look at income, net worth, and assets. But again, if they own their home and their income is drawn down because of their health care needs, then it drives their income potentially to zero. And if that, we can prove that, then there's access to a benefit called pension, whether it's for the veteran or for surviving spouse. Ultimately, you have to have wartime service and a minimum threshold, at least 90 days on active duty, with one day being during a wartime period. As I said earlier, aid in attendance is not a separate benefit in and of itself. It's just an increased dollar amount benefit for when it comes to pension. When it's compensation, it's because a person needs special monthly compensation based on their need of high level of care for disabilities that they had while on active duty. That affords veterans to get monetary benefit through compensation. It can be as high as $4,000. I've had clients get $8,000 for the injuries they sustained on active duty. It allows them to continue to thrive, but also the access to health care to take care of their disabilities as a whole.
Hey, Aaron, I have a question over here, a clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 4,000 and 8,000 is per what period of time?
Per month until the end of their lifetime. It just depends on the access.
Do they still have to, one of the problems in the past for lower income people was that they had to be paying for the services and then apply for them, but because they didn't have the money to pay for those services?
That is true. It's a dollar for dollar match. And the unreimbursed medical expenses has to be determined at some point. They could do it once, and you know, we would presume that it would be a continuous thing. And that is also one of the unfortunate processes for VA, is that there has to be an out-of-pocket unreimbursed medical expense determined before VA will offset that against their income.
What do you think about home care agencies that are offering to basically front that loan? So that the person gets those services. Have you heard about that?
It, yes, it's illegal, but yeah. We used to call them pension poachers. So truthfully, they're a little bit of history. For me, previously, we had pension poachers in the past who would have long-term care facilities or assisted living facilities tied to some sort of insurance. And the facilities would take them in on a honor system, show those expenses. And then when the person's granted aid in attendance, that person then would give the money back. VA came up with a 3-year look back, rule 703, because of that, to try and make sure that was no longer happening. If a person is trying to determine that pension is the route that they need to go, I would encourage them to come to our office so we can show them what to do with it legally, so that they can still potentially qualify. Or at the very minimum, do an intent to file. Make sure they get access to our social service agency to file for a Medi-Cal benefits of their own right. And maybe they can potentially get some of that cost of care offset because it can no longer financially do it.
There's a process. I just know it's been a very frustrating configuration.
It has. And I'm sure it still happens, but yeah. We want to make sure people have equitable access. Just before I came here, I had a client come to the office who VA is looking at them going back to 2022 and created an overpayment because they went back and looked at the unreimbursed medical expenses. They don't exist. So now that person is financially in a good position. And that's what we want to try and avoid because it's unnecessary.
The answer is come to you.
Yes, it's always come to us. It's always going to come to us. We're going to get them to the right spot and make sure they're educated enough to do things that we need to prevail on anything.
I know that the new commissioner in Social Security has looked into offsetting the effects of overpayments. Is that something that is also being looked into for this benefit as well?
There's a way to do it as well.
That's perfect.
We get to out of equity to a veteran or a claimant. I have always asked the VA to waive the debt. So we have a lot of things at our disposal to try and make sure we're advocating for the veteran. So. And it doesn't have an adverse impact on the client. The available survivors benefits. This to me is important because the dependents indemnity compensation, a lot of surviving spouses whose veteran spouse passed away from service connected causes are still not getting access to this benefit until much later. We want them to understand that if there's anything that was a contributing cause of death that could be related to service, we want to file for it. Now, a veteran could not have been service connected for those conditions as long as that we can link the disease that contributed to death. Surviving spouses can get DIC. The 45-year thing that I spoke of, the widow had never, the veteran had never filed a claim for it. Service connections, Vietnam service, or injuries and sustainment, from presumptive illnesses due to Agent Orange, and then got that service connected for the veteran, and then got the surviving spouse PIC. So it could be a process. It took about 4 years, but she got the benefit. Pension, survivor's pension, again, needs-based benefit. I would just rather our office just see them so that we can at least have a conversation on how to navigate this process. And veterans and their spouses aren't eligible to stay at the veterans home, whether they're service-connected or not. That is access to them. We get to help them file for whichever home they would like to reside in and get access. We do know which homes are full and which ones are empty, but we have that connectivity through CalVet and the veterans home to be able to make sure those clients get in.
And now foster homes are coming too.
Adult care homes, VA healthcare can actually pay for those. I don't know, this thing is a little behind. With the adult care home, with VA healthcare being able to contract with these. That is happening through VA healthcare now. We're still trying to find it, but we are having those conversations as well.
Eric, is the VA involved in in-home service?
They are. As well? So the extended care program is a healthcare enrollment. They do determine whether a person is either catastrophically disabled, and they can actually have a VA person come into the home to provide up to 10, maybe more hours of home care, which is a little known program and services that our veterans know about. And it's unfortunate. We're trying to make sure that word is out. The caregiver program is another component. VA has 9 different home and community-based programs available to veterans. The adult care facility, the adult care homes is one of them. And we started to get some of those contracts online. Other states already have it, like Oregon, Washington, Texas has it. Hopefully it's still that being the process. And each visit determines what they're going to put in their budget to support that. But those conversations are being had. Dependency, continuously married to the veteran for at least 1 year prior to death. There's ways around that, but that's one of the VA standards of a DIC claim or pension claim is that they have to have been married, stay potentially married to that veteran for at least 1 year prior and live with that veteran. A little difficult if the veteran themselves need to go into a facility. There's ways of getting around it. That's an extension of the veteran's home. And most people don't know that. They just assume, well, they were not there inside the home.
Well, there's no way that any person that's not an expert in this would be able to navigate all
this. No. It is a very difficult process. Thinking honorable discharge, there is no requirement for a surviving spouse to be at above age 65. I think not anyway. Just that if the person qualifies, all things considered, wartime service, married to the veterans, meet income thresholds, they could potentially qualify for the survivor's pension.
I have a few older adults that their veteran spouse has passed on, and when I asked all those questions and also inquired about documentation for their current service, is that something that would expedite the process of getting the pension or whatever they need as they're dealing with possible eviction because they're not able to pay the rent? A military spouse that was
veteran was looking to providing everything for the household. Is that something that could be expedited through you so that older individual that was non-military would it be evicted from their home? Yes. If they're at risk of homelessness, then we get to state that to VA request an expedite. Again, with the Pension Management Center, all pension and survivor claims are handled in St. Paul, Minnesota. That's the only location. So we get to have a direct line to them to say we really need this. So we put it in our argument that we really need this to be expedited because of this risk of closure. As far as obtaining the documentation, if they don't have a discharge or separation document, it's still not necessarily game over. We can potentially still file that claim and request that VA do a records request. They're going to have to do it anyway. And if it's due to age, we get to expedite. If it's due to health care issues, we get to request an expedite. If it's due to risk averse things that may be happening, we try and ask that after that. This is hard. So we got basic pension, we have housebound, and we have aid and attendance. Again, they're not separate benefits of themselves. They're just different levels of pension that a person could get paid at. For example, the basic pension rate for surviving spouse is about $10,100. If they're over that threshold, they potentially may not qualify unless they have excessive unreimbursed medical expenses that's drawing your income to zero. And likewise with housebound, it has a rate. That housebound rate is $13,000. Again, it's not a significant amount of money, but we do look at unreimbursed medical expenses to make a determination if their income is being drawn down to potentially zero or whatever the difference may be to actually qualify.
So there's no adjustment for the fact that this is one of the most expensive places in the country to live.
No, none whatsoever.
So when we're comparing these numbers, we're comparing the Oklahoma against Orange County, California.
Yes. It's federal. All this starts with legislation. So it's federal, and they just keep it across the board. They get an increase, annual increase every year. I think the key element to any one of those three is to see what are the unreimbursed medical expenses and what is the cost of care. If we can determine those things, we'll be able to better advise the person on how to proceed. It's a difficult process, but we just need the information and facts to help them navigate. So, Cinemar will take care of it. And this is what I'm just covering. So, you know, basically, count of income, the maximum pension rate.
It's like Medi-Cal,
It really is. And they have adopted some processes just like Medi-Cal as well as Social Security to try and get there.
Can you get me this stuff?
Healthcare. Primary access to healthcare is through compensation and or potentially pension. Veteran can get access to healthcare. I think they're better positioned to get access to a whole lot of things, including if they're potentially catastrophically disabled and not service connected, they still can get in-home care to help them drive and stay inside the home, but they can also have access to healthcare or any non-service related injury. It's a lot of stuff. I'm not expecting anybody to retain this.
One big message. Send them.
Yes. Yeah. Send them to the VSL 1300 South Grand Building B. Or they can call us. That is our number. Screenshot it and what you need. We make sure people have access somehow. And it doesn't mean always coming down to Santa Ana to have a conversation with us. My staff and I can file claims just over the phone. We don't need a person who just can't leave their home to just not have access because you can't get to it. We want to make sure that they extend that access however means they're able to do it.
Eric, are you on socials as well?
Yes.
We are.
Mm-hmm. I think,
next slide, Eric.
Next one? Yep. Okay. We don't have to
On the debt pension, well, the debt pension is about $10,138. That is the rate, estimated rate. It's not a lot, but again, none of those numbers matter because if they even think they qualify, I would rather hear from them, and my staff would rather hear from them to really just say, what else is there? Are you not able to pay for in-home care? What does that cost of care going to look like, and how we can help you navigate through resources that can? Yes, ma'am.
might be a two-part question. I belong to the auxiliary for the American Legion post in South Orange County. Is there, and the auxiliary raises money and then does service projects for veterans who have some special particular needs. There's a house in Santa Ana where about 20 of them live that have been on the hard times and are either getting on their feet or this has become their residence. Is there any reason why you couldn't advise us on where veterans need help? Could we work together to identify pockets of need where we could support them?
Financially or just access to benefits in general?
Mostly we would provide financial support or like bring them a Super Bowl dinner or make them a St. Patrick's Day party or for Christmas if they all need socks and sneakers, then a group of them gets whatever socks and sneakers they want, that kind of thing.
We can do a little bit of both of that. We can do some of that and make that bridge, but actually trying to make sure they have access to those other benefits. Because there's other things they potentially are missing out on. And community partnerships, absolutely, they work because there are things that we don't get to do financially.
But there's no reason why your office couldn't work with these philanthropic kinds of groups.
Oh, no. We can. It's any and everyone. I want to make sure that we can expand the word so we can raise that 4% in this state. We do see a lot of clients, but we don't have a bar to what number of clients we see.
Is it possible to find out
I want to see them all.
For Orange County?
I'm sorry?
Is it possible to find out the percentage for Orange County or not?
Yes, I could try. It's, the VA has that number. They have that number. I think we may have pulled it from the census for Orange County.
And do you work with groups, or are you aware of groups like Care Possible that are on helping veterans who have substance abuse issues?
There's quite a few groups, nonprofits that do work with veterans who have dual diagnosis, substance abuse as well as mental health.
And PTSD.
We're not trying to be the center of all of it, but we want to make sure we get access to those other benefits and share the partnership with those other community services or partners that can really support the veteran through their lifetime if they need to. The navigator is going to be a very important part of that. I think she's going to add a huge amount to our office to be able to help case manage, which is not something my staff or I get to do. But access, if they have access to us, we're having that conversation. We do partner with faith-based organizations as well, who's been a huge support doing very similar work to try and make sure veterans have access. When they have the employment program too, veterans are able and want to go back to work. That is another route. So we're trying to build this nice capacity building thing of system of care for all of our organizations to make sure that people know that we exist to help.
And we're looking for ways to plug in to what veterans need that maybe are in addition to or in lieu of the projects we've done in the past.
Absolutely. And I would presume that if you're providing some sort of financial assistance, you're potentially eligible for Medi-Cal or cash in or something.
Right.
My only familiarity with what you're doing are three of the men who are on my Meals on Wheels route. And I will say, I'm impressed. I mean, one man yesterday, they're coming on a bus, picking him up. He's got a device that takes him from his mobile home down to the ground. They take him to a swimming pool. Another man is bedridden. I'm seeing a wide range of services. So that's why it's such a gut punch hearing that people aren't availing themselves of it, because I see how these men are really embraced by multiple services. I will say one thing that I found shocking, and that is two of my three men were not registered to vote.
What?
I've registered, but I went, wait a minute, you're a veteran, you're getting all these veteran services, and you're not registered to vote? I don't need to know how you're voting. This is your right. And the two of them said that they had been incarcerated. I said, yeah, but you're here and now. That's, the vets didn't tell you, so please just put a memo out that if they're, one of them said, I'm a felon. I'm like, you were a felon. And so
that's part of this part of some of that misinformation too. So we serve just with anybody, no matter the odds, just involved, formerly incarcerated, trying to make sure they have access so they get the right information. Because part of it is they don't have the right information. And if you haven't noticed, veterans like to talk. So we get to share, word of mouth has been the greatest staple for any veteran service office, making sure those veterans can share the word about what has been done.
But it's on theme with the what we're seeing, and that older adults generally don't know where to turn a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
A lot of it's
already in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
So your office is operating under certain grant funding. So my question of the day becomes, are you at capacity? Are you maximizing what you're able to do with the grants that you have? And what's holding, you know, are you getting more calls? Are you having more interest? Do we need 5 more navigators in the community in order to expand that 4%? I mean, if suddenly we had, you had a 20% increase in calls coming into the office, what would happen?
We would address that 20%.
How?
We find unique ways to do it. I will say, so we don't have grant funding to support our role. In fact, the county funds over 70% of the budget to have this operation for the VSO. The rest of it is funded through the California Department of Veterans Affairs based on the number of auditable claims that we get to file to support those veterans. For us in our office, we don't have a number. If I could see every possible veteran that's in this county, I would see them.
So, this group is your advocates to the Board of Supervisors. And if that need is 10 times larger than the funding that you're getting out of the county's budget, this is the group who has a voice, could use their voice to expand that conversation. And it's that kind of information, this is very useful. There's no sense about, no problem. But the next piece of that is, what's the possibility? What are the holes? That's what we'd like to know.
The gaps in service.
So one of the ways that we look to address that is looking at those opportunities of collaboration, right? Where maybe we are not the focus on a particular topic or service, we necessarily ensure, definitely identify that gap, is looking at who are our, not just county, but also community and or state or our other partners that provide that service, and looking at opportunities how we can integrate some of that partnership so that we can make sure we're addressing and looking at the needs holistically. As an example, Eric had mentioned about the navigator. This is a brand new position for us. We applied for the Mental Health Service Act, known as Prop 63. And in looking at these kind of gaps and needs of services, we designed the program to where our request for that funding would allow for an additional staff member to just solely focus on that case management and navigation between our veterans and their mental health and the connection to their mental health needs and legal services where need be, right, to address that. So it is, thank you for that, because it is important, definitely, where maybe not the office directly ourselves can do it, but looking at those grants where we can apply with other partners to be able to expand and extend that service. I know for us right now, our huge, huge focus has been the getting the veterans connected to their benefits, to their claims, to make sure they're accessing, because you've heard the percentage is quite low across the state. So we've been doing a lot of heavy focus on that end, but it's the time where now we're going, okay, so we got this kind of well-oiled, and now looking for those opportunities to expand and to continue to grow, to then now touch all the other auxiliary or supportive services and or linkages to other long-term support services that the veteran might need, and their dependents and their spouses. Definitely.
Question.
Yes.
I have a family member was picked up in his home, taken to the VA in Long Beach for dialysis, and brought home. Something happened.
I don't know. It wasn't us, but they can always contact our office so we can help them figure it out if they need that. I know VA, the transportation to VA is a contract thing in some ways. But there's transportation that could be free for veterans. The other thing I didn't mention is we have Uber transportation cards to help veterans get to their appointments. So that's available too. I still have a lot, but we do have that available. That's what I'm saying. If they can get access to us, we're going to make sure we get connected.
Well, we're going to spread the word. I want to thank you so much. This is amazing. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank
truly
you.
A wonderful presentation, and thank you for your leadership.
Probably went long than expected.
Well, we have lots of questions that people are in, so that's great. All right, now we are on to the discussion item part of our agenda number 9. And the first is actually a great segue, commission members engaged on social media. So one of the things that we were focusing on with older adults is how do they and their caregivers and family members know where to go for help. And one of the ways that we would like to help on that is to engage on social media. So we would encourage all of you to be posting on Facebook and on Instagram. I know that Patty's a superstar, Charlene, Joni. When we get information, share it. When we get a post about what's going to be happening here or the Office on Aging share something, share it. It helps with the algorithm, and then hopefully more and more people know that these services are available. So
when you share information with us, share it in a format that we can actually put it online as opposed to an email attachment or Word doc.
I've been asking for JPEGs.
Yeah, that'd be great. We can put up the JPEGs and be able to wait for stuff. That would be nice.
What about the press?
Is Office on Aging listening to this request from Nathan?
I'm so sorry. So sorry, just trying to tidy up some things before things get scaly. Ask your question again.
You had a request about the format.
Yeah, when you share information with us, share it with us in a format that we can actually put onto the Facebook page. A JPEG, for example, is the format. But sending us a Word doc, we can't put up a Word doc onto our
correct.
Facebook feed and things like that. So be mindful of that. If you want us to share, which I frankly have to share, on my tiny little universe out there, but you would have to share if I have it in a format I can.
Yeah, because when we receive the information for this particular meeting, it's in a PDF for some reason, which is hard to share. Yeah.
Yes. Is it okay to share with the press? Or is that Brown Act or?
Yes. If it's a document about this meeting, you can put it in a newspaper, right?
Okay. All right. Does the office of aging have Facebook page with Instagram?
Yes, it has Instagram and it has Facebook. So yeah. I would encourage everyone's homework right now, or if you don't have good Wi-Fi here, when you get home, follow the Office on Aging on Facebook and Instagram.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll show you. Yeah, we've been adding and incorporating QR codes to a lot of the public facing materials and outreach materials, so that makes it much easier to connect to websites, to connect to our social medias. So that is definitely something that we continue to work on.
Great. Are the information in other languages other than Spanish?
Yes.
We were on the
Claudia, where can we find that?
We did share, and please correct me if you have not, but I am going to share with you during my updates. We have updated the Office on Aging Information and Assistance flyer. So we do have, I'm not sure if that's in your packet or we electronically sent it to you, but we will reshare again. And in that brochure, we have the website, the social medias, the QR code, our call center phone number. So all the information you need to connect with us. So please let me know. I think in general, if you have not already, more than happy to be excited to share.
That would be great. So raise your hand if you can follow and post from the Office on Aging and Veterans Affairs by the end of the week, Sunday. Yes. Yes. And then the Office on Aging will get more hits the more the algorithm knows, the more people are interacting with it.
There's only 700 followers, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have the Orange County Aging Services Collaborative, a review of the report on the aging in Orange County.
Oh, I confess I am not terribly prepared. I forgot.
No worries.
I'm so sorry. The Aging Services Collaborative did a comprehensive survey of over 3,000 older adults throughout Orange County. We had cooperation from almost every senior center. It's excellent information that will add to what the county data collection that was part of the contract for the master plan for aging implementation. So this will further inform that process and actually look at things from a little different perspective. What I can do is send around the link so that you can all access. You've been sent the link previously. I'm assuming from the looks on everybody's faces that maybe nobody has opened that link. It's really pretty important information. So
how about everyone we'll resend it. Everyone can take a look, and then our next meeting we can talk about it again. How does that sound?
I apologize.
Yeah, and I would be particularly interested in how you're interpreting the information that came. I mean, the report was one thing, but how is that going to inform public policy?
Well, that's a question for our Office on Aging and our county government, because the healthcare agency commissioned this particular survey. And actually, in full transparency, then there was a rough edge between some county departments and the healthcare agency, because they said, well, we funded this survey, but why did you fund this survey? And the answer is, the first survey took a long, long time.
We still don't have the results of the first survey.
Yeah, correct. It took months after the agreed upon delivery date. We were already going to do this as part of our grant funder's mandate, and the healthcare agency found it valuable, and so they funded it. So you're asking a question that's above my pay grade.
So where do we get that information? That pay grade, that next.
Well, that's our Office on Aging and our county government. How are they going to use this really important data to impact how we're going to go forward to serve seniors?
Am I on basic?
Not at all. Not at all.
No, and I can speak to that status, as I understand the advisory commission here has been asking for updates on the master plan for aging and what would that look like, and what are some of the things that you would incorporate in a development of a master plan for aging within our county. Office on Aging, of course, you know, we're not currently necessarily leading the efforts or responsible for writing that at this time. It is a collaborative effort with our county and other partners in health and human services. However, one thing I can share is, and it's underway, the analysis of the survey, it continues to be underway. And obviously, yes, we are awarded those updates and share that with the commission. A part of that, when you think about developing, what does that look like as a county as a whole for our aging services and resources and reports and surveying, very similar, of course, to the Aging Collaborative and any other research surveying that would be incorporated in terms of a lot of great information that we show, right, that we can collaborate and analyze throughout what does this mean to our county as a whole and to our aging population and what next. So that is definitely some discussions at our county leadership level. So anything that I can share with you as to status, ETAs, definitely would like to bring that forth to you. It's just that at this time, I'm not able to give a time frame yet.
Sounds like we're stuck.
So their analysis of the survey part and putting that together, it's one thing I can say that it is undergoing. So there are staff that are looking at all of that surveying and providing that analysis. So that is definitely underway.
Thank you, Patty, for that.
And your estimation of when that might come out the other end and we get involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
Are we 6 months away? Or are we a year?
I can tell you our family is definitely trying to place some priorities on that because it is something that has been taking quite some time. I don't want to speak to it if I don't have exact. So, but it is being placed as priorities at this time. So one thing I am important to say is that yes, internally we are looking at all of that so that we can develop a better time.
Is this coming out of community services as a whole or?
No, it's not. It's coming from our counties, from our leadership office.
Okay, so now we are on to item number D in discussion, the plan to present the OAC 2024-25 goals and objectives to the Board of Supervisors. So thank you to this body for blessing that. The last time we were together, we are in the process of scheduling meetings to meet with the supervisors in September. Right now we have a meeting scheduled with Chairman Wagner and with Supervisor Doe's office, and we are in the process of scheduling with the other three offices, so we will report back after we have this meeting. Their offices in the county. Yeah, and we're having in-person meetings because that's a better way to interact and build relationships and have good discussions.
That's
one. Yes. Because the big ask out of us is to have a public service campaign funded that provides information on where are the resources, how do you access this? And this needs to go county-wide. So don't bang on their door loud and clear. And at least it's always a process of bringing it to the top, right, Claudia? Bringing it to the top. That's
I think that every single presentation that we've heard for the last 3 months has been about unknown services in Orange County, the Caregiver Resource Center, Veterans Affairs. We know that not a lot of people know to call the Office on Aging to get help, so it's a theme for sure that we want to share and ask for help with. All right, now we are on to E. Dave Wheeler, we have asked if you can give us an update on your email campaign and we're going to help.
I just got a database as of Monday for the whole county. So I've got new data, which is available. It's 24 now, and it's segregated by city. So I can access that with the seniors in your area. Unfortunately, I'm bad news. I collected data from a previous run, and we found about 16,000 within the four cities surrounding our one semester senior center. The plan was to work with the director and their data people to get the information out. We planned originally emails. Unfortunately, the director has moved on. So that's not going.
You're starting over.
I'm meeting today with the acting director, temporary director, Pat Kendrick, and try to see what their availability is to get things started again. So the database, it's a contact database. It's not just email. I've got addresses for all. And emails typically goes 30-40% of the total number. And the phones, emails about 30%, phones about 40%. So three different contact methods. So we're trying to see, eventually what the best thing is and try to, get the information out.
Some more to come.
Yeah, after maybe see if I can get them started. Maybe it was another senior center that wanted to volunteer to jump in. I can work with them no matter where they are in the county. I want to get something going here. Unfortunately, this is a busy year. By the way, I'm married right now, so a little bit busy, but we're going to get it going.
Did you do an email blast of any kind to these?
Organizations, MailChimp, the well-known one that yeah. cost money, so we have to budgetary stuff.
Yes, that's all pretty useful stuff. Yeah, okay.
They haven't decided what they were going to do with that.
Thank
now
you.
I get a traded record.
All right. Okay, and then the last discussion item, we had talked last time about everyone, when you talked to your senior center over the last 2 months, asking if there's a senior advisory committee, if no, why, and if yes, how's it working? So any sharing on that?
I'll just start off with
yes.
San Juan Capistrano. No. Quite honestly, it died off during COVID in a couple of cases quite literally.
Yes.
Sadly. And has not reinstituted since then.
Is the director open to getting it going again?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you sparked something.
We're discussing that.
Yeah, good.
Our senior center has a senior leadership council that meets on a regular basis and no public council. But they do have a.
I like the name of that too, senior leadership council.
Yeah,
that sounds better. Yes.
In Laguna Niguel, we have the Senior Citizen Committee of the City of Laguna Niguel, and they meet monthly unless the meeting is adjourned or not happening.
Yeah.
And if the Senior Center wants to do something, it has to go to City Council. Right. They put in an exercise room at the senior center. Then it goes to your city council. They did improvements in the senior center.
Right. But you're giving feedback as
I'm on.
Yes, yeah, great. So Laguna Niguel, yes. Freya, yes. Yes.
And we have a senior citizen commission under community services. They have a separate enterprise fund. They can spend up to a certain amount of money without council approval.
That sounds good.
Pretty good. Most of the senior center has a club of their own that advises the senior commission.
Wonderful. So lots of leadership in Buena Park.
We have one of like four. So I sit on the board. We meet quarterly. We've gotten a lot of things done. They actually listen to us. You know, got the taxi program going by working with them because they were holding back on that. And I found it pretty good that they were receptive.
Yes,
The Oasis Senior Center in Newport Beach, Oasis is an acronym for the Older Adult Social and Information Services.
No.
And we have a board. And the it's volunteer driven, but we have I wrote all this last night. I didn't understand what you really wanted. So anyway, our board is called Friends of Oasis, and it's has a 501c3 designation, and we have committees that work with all of the different aspects of the senior center. And the director of the senior center is on our board as an ex officio member.
That's important for communication.
Pardon?
That's important for communication.
Yes.
Yes.
And very effective board. We all have things things that we do to work with things at the center. We have a gift shop. We have a Veterans Affairs Committee. We have all different kinds of programs that are run through the Advisory Council.
Great. So I'm hearing if you're at a senior center that's less active, we have a lot of cities here where you could visit through our commission to find out best practices.
Come shop in our center because Barbara was
Yes,
you are. So the senior, the Tustin Senior Center has an advisory board that meets every other month. Sounds a little, we have a gift shop too. And we have a fund that's a nonprofit and a fund helps raise money for projects at the center. council member attends, the director of Parks and Rec, the Manchester Center, and events were authorized to spend a certain amount without getting special approval. That's kind of how we are.
Wonderful. Now, the city of Irvine, three of my commissioners are sitting right here behind me. So, the city of Irvine is very supportive of the senior, but they're appointed by the city council folks into a specific commission and meet monthly. And we also have a first class newsletter email blast that goes out every single month. That if anyone would like to see the latest one, the title was Empowering Older Adults, and it was a recap of the services that are available and some of the classes that they're teaching this month, etc. And they do quite a good job, and then as you can see, the city has good support from their commissioners to report back to the city council members to keep all of that up to them.
Wonderful. Anyone else want to share?
Yes.
We have a four-page tiny print that goes on at the senior center. We have the senior leadership committee, which Dave's wife, Helen, and I are on.
Yes.
And it's going to be August 23rd, 24th. This incredible sale. Now, some of you who live far away will get it, but if you live close by, you definitely
want it. What date was that, Elizabeth?
August 23rd, 24th.
Okay.
It's a jewelry, but it's not just jewelry. It is scarves, it's men's clothing, it's belts, purses. Oh my God.
It's an accessories fest.
What?
Accessories.
Accessory, yes, exactly. Right. I've never had a coach first. That's not very expensive. Well, I got one for $20. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, so the Mission Viejo Senior Center has a lot going on.
A lot.
As well.
I mean,
so if you are a liaison to a quiet senior center, try to encourage the staff to visit some of these other senior centers to have best practices and vibrancy. Definitely.
And then,
oh my goodness, you guys have a country bash.
Last year, that jewelry accessory sale, we made so much money. So, as a result, there's going to be this country bash. I mean, it's incredible. And it's only $15 a person. I mean, there's a band, there's dancing, the line dancing, folk dancing. I mean, it's unwritten. We say, how on earth could you put this on a whole dinner for $15? And so,
because of your fundraising.
But it's because of the money that we made last year. So,
well done. Jerry.
Just like in Rachel Owens mentioned, that we have a city of Irvine, we have two senior council over there. Every month, attend our meeting and
yes,
give a lot of advice. So we really appreciate it. We
yes.
have a lot of information and provide to the city of Irvine. So.
Yeah. Lots of enthusiasm. Yes.
One other thing that happened at the Senior Center, they have these international travel talks,
mm-hmm.
and it's slides and tours where they eat. The tour director is from Newport. So at one restaurant, he was vegetarian, and he told this to the chef and said no carb. Well, he took pictures. It was fabulous. So he knows where to go. And he can tailor travels, escapes. Seniors come to these slideshows and can live vicariously through these programs. They can decide, well, do I want to do all this climbing up this hill and get into a hotel that's on the side of the mountain? Or, you know, they can find out if they can do this type of thing, like Peru, Ecuador, Colombia. According to him, the cartel is out of Colombia. So
But then that's true or not, I don't know.
All right, well, let's go.
With the city data point, and they don't have a advisory council, but they're investigating. They're determining whether they're going
to
be a staff.
Maybe your next agenda is to invite them to some of these other cities.
It was a good meeting.
Good. I'm glad that you got a hold of the person because I know that you had a name also.
It was Melissa. It was a real good meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, John. All right, Senior Center and Liaison Updates. We kind of did that in a way in our last discussion item, but I wanted to point out to our three new commissioners that you will be assigned a Senior Center, and Amina is your contact for that. So thank you, Amina. So just so everyone remembers, as we grow in our membership, those of us that have been covering multiple Senior Centers will be able to go off duty, and then new members will be assigned. The goal is to get you as close to your hometown or in your hometown. Sometimes that's possible, sometimes that's not. So it is the mastermind.
So Meredith, yes. So we'll have a new Senior Center roster assignment sheet soon.
Every month. Or whenever we have a new member.
I know that. So who's just up a question about when could we expect that?
The newest one. The new assignment at the center. Give me a couple weeks to get yourself back to work or back here. So give me about a week or two.
Okay.
Get myself together and get the new list of folks who are new here.
Certainly makes sense for Arch to be an important part of this. We lost it. I'll check there.
Yes. Yeah. Did someone else have a question?
No, I was just mentioning she wasn't just coming from Kentucky. She was coming back from Cambodia.
Yeah.
I think you see some people's expression like, really? We got along? Thank you.
Well, we just give you props for volunteering to do it. No, exactly. Yay! Yes, and then I'll also send you. We've lost the person, so then yes, and do our lead. Yes, okay, sounds great. All right, chair report. As I said, great to be back together, seeing so many wonderful people. I want to thank you all at the beginning of my chair report for everything that you do in our communities. This is the most amazing group of people that care so much about our cities and our county. Connecting all of these thoughts. We do have a fragmented system, as you heard from the VA today. It's so hard to navigate. One system, not alone, all of these systems. So the more we can get the word out, the better. I know that we care very deeply about the older adults in our community, so I just want to thank you all for your service and for being here, being committed. I also wanted to share that at the state level, we continue on, and maybe we can talk about that next month, John. With regulations and legislation. A lot of the aging services bills are still going forward. The RCF bill, I shouldn't talk in lingo, I'm sorry. I'm so used to being in my work setting. The assisted living bill of increasing the number of beds that can be in the neighborhood. Assisted living is going forward. And all the government agencies are also working on a lot of regulations, which is my full-time job and no fun, but it's a busy time up in Sacramento and the budget continues to be a problem. Yes.
Do we happen to have the bill number for the assisted living plan?
We have it on the, do you have the Justice and Aging Tracker? John has it next to you. He can send it.
Okay.
Yeah, so all those bills are still being tracked and they're being compared to the state master plan on aging. They're on how they've been. That's all I had for the chair report. And I'm so glad that we have our three new members here. So we want you to feel welcome. If you have questions or concerns, please approach any of us that have been here for a while. And thank you, Sandy, for being the person that is the bridge for new members and orienting them. And then I'll pass it over to Claudia for the Office on Aging update, and maybe we can talk about the brochure too, because
lots more of your
updates.
Yeah. thank you, Meredith. Welcome everyone. Welcome our new members. Pleasure to have you. Be sure to connect.
get to know you a little bit. So I see it on the screen. Okay, sorry. I think I need a new prescription because I'm really having a hard time today. Our information and assistance flyers that you see on the screen, that is our brochure. We have been working on this for quite a little bit of time, if I may say. One of the, I wanted to share the electronic version, so please, please let me know if you have not received it yet. I'll be happy to share that with you. This is just a, when we think about what information you can bring forth to our public, to your senior centers, as you're out and about in your communities, this is our call center hub of information and assistance to our office on aging. So a little brief information on what we do. This is considered the avenue in which we can connect our older adults, our caregivers, their support systems through the well of various services, not just services contracted with Office on Aging, but also our community services and partners to make sure that we are connecting them with their needed services. Sometimes when calls come in through here, of course, it's not just about the call that they're asking for, the immediate need, but it, through that conversation and really assessing what their goals and what they're intending to do or information they're trying to obtain, we discover a lot of other needs that they can benefit from, so we definitely connect. One of the updates to our flyer, of course, someone asked about the QR code, adding the QR code to that, adding our social media platforms to that, definitely our business hours. The bulk of the information or the need or request for information to our office does come through this call center. But every now and then we do get a visitor in our office here and there that, you know, wants to come in and have that face-to-face, which we definitely invite. But the bulk of our services, as you can see, are through this call center. The call center is also connected to our wonderful partner with Bill McIntosh through the Aging Disability Resource, which you heard about a couple months back before our summer recess, on how that connects to the No Wrong Door, definitely connecting to a loop of community partners and services, not just human services, but all, and supporting veteran services and supporting workforce, of course, for our also older adults seeking for workforce opportunities. So
is this for professionals? Because it seems like it's more for professionals than consumers.
So it is for everyone. It is trying to address all levels, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's for an agency, trying to know what we do, for our public, for our caregivers, for a support system, for a nonprofit. It's for all the public for information. So this is something that we will be sharing, of course, when we have our outreach efforts and our tabling resource efforts, and obviously share it on our website for downloadable versions. One of the things that we are finalizing at this time, so I'm only sharing the English version, but we do have our county threshold languages. We have just been enabling some translation of things that I'm gonna say it's gone through a little bit of various different review phases on what is definitely appropriate, like to who are we marketing and what that translation appropriateness needs to look like. So we are almost there. We have some of the other language ready to go, but we are taking a look at a couple of the languages just to make sure that we are proper in those translations. So that is definitely coming your way. And this is something that we've mentioned, please feel free to download, to print, to share. Someone asked, can you share it like to your cities? Can you forward it? Absolutely. And then I heard, thank you for that recommendation about the for a PDF or versus what's easiest to share and navigate.
Yeah,
so I'll take that back. So I'll take that back to our communications.
In the communications, do you have a printable large version for people with visual disabilities?
This is the font here is what we do have, except for our online. That is definitely something I'm so glad that you brought that up a bit, because one of the discussions that we're having with our partners at Dale McIntosh is looking at the lens of the AEA, of like the fonting, the transcribing that information, making sure that it's also compatible with like readers, right? And so we're definitely taking a look at that with our internal communications team.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are you going?
how are these going to go up? I mean, where do you plan on putting these brochures in? Who's the audience for this brochure? I mean, it seems pretty high-level stuff. There's a lot of language in here that is something that's beyond. I live in Leisure World and quite with
$5 point.
So my question is, how are you going to distribute this, and who's the audience for this particular piece right here?
All our public, everyone. I am hearing and taking notes in your feedback on the language, right?
The language. I think it's about the third grade. Does
it, yeah.
Does it go into the senior center?
Yes.
Or
senior centers, our office, your respective agencies and partners, your senior centers, your community centers, our resource tables when we go out on health fairs. It is for public and all levels of public.
Okay.
So thank you for that. No, I really do appreciate that, because one of the reasons that we're taking a little bit harder look at some of the translations is that feedback on the level of the language.
I don't think a lot of people in Orange County are going to understand like the array of services.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah, no, thank you for that. That is something that we're reading.
So you guys haven't published this yet in paper form?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. So we can get feedback now.
Yes, you may, and I am listening to it. What I'm saying is, we already have it, so we do have it for display. Does it need to stay in this version forever on? No, this can always be updated as we move along.
Yeah, I think that plain language is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Is the Office of Aging across the nation?
There are area agencies on aging that incorporate some form of Office on Aging type services, yes, across the nation. Definitely, of course, you know, for us here in California, we're also the area agencies on aging. Some of us, county, right, governed by county entity and local government, some are nonprofits. Some of them are nonprofit entities that provide the Office on Aging type aging service networks. So,
once the flyers finalized, where should we go to get
both? We will provide. I will be sure to provide some, because one of the things that you have recommended is being able to take the materials to your senior center. So we have that on our. Definitely must to do. We just didn't want to print a lot of the English ones at this moment in time, only because some of the feedback that we're getting, some of the translation things that we're able to look at. So.
Thank you.
Oh, any nice update. Sorry, Beck. I don't know whose hands. Just speak.
Go ahead, Beck.
Oh, I was just going to say an easy way to check the readability of something is if you just search readability checker, it will tell you the level of language that you
I feel like this is high school level.
I would be surprised if it was a high school level. Sometimes I put things in there and it tells me it's a college level. I'm like, okay, I didn't know that word was a college level.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if Dale McIntosh was saying that most agencies try to do it at the third grade level.
Like how they felt it.
Yeah. And then I saw
I did the cardboard check and it worked.
Yes.
And I started to go through, but I got a feedback. The area that covers the older adults advisory commissions is still listed as GAG on the original document. Go to SCAG, you hit the SCAG and it goes to older adults. So
On the landing?
Yeah.
I'll take a look at that again because he had updated that. Okay. I'll have a staff take a look at that again because we had updated that to the new name. But if you're.
Yeah, the information is on the new name.
We also should put one of our new
photos. The bullet point to get there is still listed on the sketch.
Thank you.
Not to beat this to death, but I'm in the industry. It's either get the blue box, you know what, it's too much. I don't want to do that. Much.
We can.
Thank you. So then the other update we talked about, I'm sorry, was there any other questions about that? But I definitely appreciate making notes of all your feedback on that. It's our very first, as we've received definitely some recommendations and feedback from you all, and it was one of the goals that we identified in our area plan. For those of you not familiar, the area plan is like our service roadmap that we are responsible to provide under a lot of our the various funding sources, whether it's state or federal levels. But the area plan is where we say, you know, our services, what our goals are. And one of those goals in terms of outreaching was a newsletter. In our area plan, currently, the goal was to get a newsletter out on a quarterly basis. But based on some of the feedback we received from you and some recommendations, that newsletter now is going to be on a monthly. So we did release the very first, July 31st, for our August edition. We did, or July, I'm so sorry, we released the newsletter, the Office on Aging newsletter. It is electronic. We did share it. I believe you all may have received it, so look for your emails if you did not. We can more than happy to resend again. And one of the things, because we heard you also about the recommendation of like the distribution list and how to really like expand outreach, we did add the subscribe. So as you scroll through that newsletter, there is a subscription. Mm-hmm. And so that now you can go ahead and list yourself and your respective entities and organizations, and you will continue to receive every time one gets released on that month, then you will receive that newsletter. Thank you for those who have provided some feedback on content. You were asking or making some recommendations on the type of content you want to see on the newsletter. So we'd be more than happy. Elizabeth couldn't join us today. She was taking a much needed little break out of the office. But please feel free to send her any feedback, content, highlight information. We want to incorporate not just services that Office on Aging provides through our service partners, but also services that are definitely kind of a high need or demand, or you all have asked about a little bit more information on. That's something that we want to incorporate. Any events, of course, right? The senior focus, aging, disability, anything that would be a benefit to our community, we want to share those events as well. So the layout of it, this is our very first one. So It doesn't mean that it's going to stay like this forever. Of course, we're always looking at how can we, you know, make things and improve upon things and how we display information. So we can work with our communications team. But definitely wanted to share that with you. If you have not, please take it.
Did anyone have feedback to look it over?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Now, what... You said the subscribe.
Yes.
Do I send it out and these people subscribe, or do I?
So if you share it, let's say you forward it on, let's say you share that with me, I can definitely go in there, scroll
right
to it, and I can subscribe on my own,
right,
so that you don't have to keep sharing it, you know.
But have you subscribed everyone in this group, or do we have to?
No, you can subscribe. We did share it with everyone.
But we're not subscribed.
But you're not subscribed.
Oh.
So thank you for asking that. So please take some time to prescribe, but you will receive it. Whether you subscribe or not, you will continue to receive that from our
I did subscribe, but then I got a response back that I was already subscribed.
Uh-huh.
Now I am getting all kinds of stuff from the county that I really wasn't very much interested.
So,
you can go back in and unclick that.
Yes.
That's what I have.
Yeah. So, Rachel, thank you. That's an excellent point. When you subscribe, there are different levels of information that you can receive from our county, other newsletter, other departments, our, you know, executive office information,
yes,
all of that.
Legislative affairs, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Legislative affairs.
Yes.
Right.
So, all of that you can subscribe to. So, we're definitely incorporating that piece into, and thank you for that. If you said that you were already subscribed, so that's something that we can clarify or communicate about that if we already did. But please feel free to share it. Share it with your network, share it with your friends and family, and they can subscribe as well. Okay. One of the things that I did want to point out that we incorporated into the newsletter is based on a previous request was the fast facts,
yep.
The performance highlights on how we're doing, how many meals, how many transportation trips we're providing. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop publishing the fast facts and incorporate it into the newsletter. So then you won't have to separate documents describing this yet. So we're good there. We'll move forward with that. So wanted to point that out there. So thank you, thank you. Please, any recommendation, any information, feedback, please send it to Ms. Elizabeth Frayer, or you can follow it through our executive team, and we'll make
sure
that.
One of the things that we have requested is if we could get a list of potential topics of the newsletter.
Potential
topics that we, like, you guys had queued up in the newsletter, and Elizabeth felt she couldn't share that. So if it's available to share, then we could give feedback.
Yeah, we haven't set that far ahead because we're just getting started.
Okay.
What is it that, and we want to hear you too, if there's any topics like particular this month that you'd be more interested in, it's something we want to definitely take into consideration. So yeah, but yeah, anything to share with you. The other, I believe you were shared in July, I want to say third week in July, July 24th, you all received an email sharing our Orange County Community Resources annual report. This is the 2022-23 annual report that our division publishes on all programs and services under community resources. So Office on Aging, to give you a little description of where that falls. Office on Aging, you heard from Eric, our Veteran Service Office, and we have our workforce that's under Community Services. But our Division of Community Services is under Community Resources, which houses animal, parks, the libraries, division in it too. So this annual report, if you haven't seen it yet, we are highlighted, Community Services and all our programs, including Office on Aging, is highlighted on that report and starts on page 27. So really just letting our public know what is it that we're working on, what are some of the program highlights. We have a little cameo of our staff, our very own Office on Aging Information and Assistance Call Center staff, and a statement on what is it, you know, how does it feel to be part of a call center and providing services to our older community. And so it's a little bit of everything. So it also highlights all the services under Veterans Office and Workforce as well. So just encourage you. Some new reading materials, you know, in our downtime, or we're having a hard time going to bed at night and down. That's what I do. Another quick update. I know I have a lot you guys to talk about. Just lots of information. I know we didn't meet last month. CDA, California Department on Aging. So this is our funder. We receive quite a bit of the bulk of our services are funded through the state, which is California Department on Aging. They released a few months back the aging guide, aging resources. So looking at aging services and network at a statewide perspective, and all numbers, the statewide phone numbers as well for services and connections. They made them available in multiple languages, so I brought quite a few. I don't know if you saw.
Yes, thank you.
Please feel free to take them. Additional information you can share when you're visiting your senior centers, information to have for yourselves and your family. I did bring the other languages that we posted there. So these were free. We requested an order from CDA. They're like hot potatoes. We requested as many that they would allow us to request, but they gave us a cap. So if there's any opportunity for us to request some additional printed material, we'll be sure to request that if you feel that this is something that you definitely want to have and continue to use as outreach efforts as well.
They can circle orange.
Yes.
Yes.
So
because all of this is simply safe.
Right.
It's not geared down to
Correct, to our local level. However, there are some phone numbers, of course, like our information and assistance number. Yes, we, for our marketing, are using our local number, but we also have the state number, which is the 800 number that connects to us as well. So this is definitely some good information. Wanted to share that with you. And then, of course, I am here. Any feedback, any information, services, definitely working on, as I mentioned, our materials as you're listening and taking back some of your suggestions, your feedback, your recommendations on what type of information as we update all our marketing materials. Through the newsletter, one of the things that we really also want to emphasize is a lot of the service providers, well, our service providers are also doing a lot of outreach. They create their materials to emphasize the programs and to market the programs. So I have, and we'll be working with them so that if we can get their marketing materials so that we can incorporate that in our social media, in our newsletter, and share that with you all. That's definitely something that we're working on to bring forth. So we're hearing you definitely, lots to do on our end, but we're really excited. So I just appreciate all that you have and for being, you know, those eyes and ears out in your community and bringing all this information to us. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Claudia. I have a question or a request. So when we're on social media, like I know I keep sharing this, but oftentimes families are looking for help in our neighborhood Facebook groups. Patty and I see it all the time in our two groups. Can we get a JPEG that has just the Office on Aging, like a QR code and a phone number, so that when someone is like desperate, we don't have to type it out, but we can put the picture in from our phone?
So just a quick little smaller
thumbnail that says like Office on Aging, the 714 number, and like a QR code or something like that.
Okay.
Because I would say that just in our neighborhood group, probably Patty, when you say like 10 to 15 people a week are like, I'm at my wit's end, I don't know what to do with my parents.
Right,
and that's just
right.
In our city.
Yeah, right.
What will
right.
Medicare pay for?
Yes.
And will they come and pick up my mother?
Yeah. Or I'm going on vacation and need someone to water the plants and change my mother's pants.
Wow.
I saw that.
Yeah.
They really said that.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you for that. Let me take that back. Because, yeah, so that we can.
I don't know. Do other cities have that going on in your social media? Or are we just lucky at Laguna Niguel?
They may be not on their neighborhood pages. Every city on Facebook has neighborhood pages. So wherever you live, type in neighborhood or Mission Viejo Buzz or Brea Buzz. There's usually four or five different pages for your city.
Yeah, those usually have their own personality.
Correct.
You go on there and make a statement, you will get attacked by 100 people.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get calling on this. That stuff, it's like, why would anyone go on?
But what happens, what we see is that other people that don't know anything about aging services give poor advice.
Yeah.
And people aren't getting routed to the Office on Aging.
Mm-hmm. I've discovered that I'm under the payment of greedy out-of-town developers.
What?
On the Facebook pages.
Yeah.
I feel your pain.
Yeah, so if we could get that, I think that it would really increase our outreach because I would be happy to plug that in.
We can also put it as part of your email signature, too, so that everybody can let you know and can see it all the time.
Meredith?
Yes.
In Laguna Niguel, somebody could come around and water my plant.
No, I go on vacation.
You can put anything you want on there. They'll attack you for that.
Yeah. I would say that people are looking for social services and asking the general public.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I answer a question? This is serious. I have a number of people on my route who are hoarders.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not found, you know, if they live in a housing, there are checks every year, and they do not have a whole halfway process. And you know, I built a rapport with a number of them, and I'll say, you know, on Monday I want 24 jars, or I want, you know, all your issues from 2015.
need a therapist that specializes in OCD.
But OCD,
yeah, it's a feature of OCD.
It's definitely a very complex issue to address, right?
Homes, they cannot even navigate to the door.
Yeah, one of the, and maybe this can be a discussion if I may make a recommendation. I think it might have been a little while since we had our social service agency, like Adult Protection Services, come into a presentation. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there as a something to consider.
Yeah, but that's the right answer. You call Adult Protective
Services. Yeah, because that is a very complex issue and matter to address. There is no easy resolution for it. It's not an immediate resolution, right? So yeah.
I've trained in that, so I'm happy to talk to you offline.
Okay. Yeah. But that is something that I don't know if it's, I don't believe it's in our presentation, in your presentation schedule, but if that's something that you want to consider.
We're going by our goals, so I don't think that fits under our goals.
We're not going to treat it, so if we call it APS, I think that's, APS. Okay, anything else, Claudia?
No, that was good.
Thank you for your report and for asking for feedback. That's not a presentation schedule.
So, the presentation schedule was attached to your package, is incorrect. So, next month, which is September, we have OC Transit Master Plan, Diana Garcia, and she's the community relations specialist. I don't know how that is correct.
And we asked her to focus on what we hear, and that is that people don't know how to put the different transportation programs together, and they don't know about them.
Exactly.
On theme, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah, thank you.
OC Transit is our presentation.
Yeah, it's not on
It's on this one that we have in our package.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Then I was in the wrong one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Sorry. Okay. I was in the wrong one.
All good. All good. Okay. Do we have any announcements by commission members?
Yes. I would just like to acknowledge the importance of this commission, and I am always inspired when I see whatever you are doing, Joni, and you are doing, Patty, and you, Meredith. And so get involved with the Instagram social media because we're all here together on the same mission.
You're a champion in person and online, Charlie, so thank you. A lot of people find out about things because of your post, I know. Yes. I mean, I'm hoping the most of the
We had a visit from the White House Initiative for Human Property with Lawrence. And in their staffs and senior staffers who were visiting our center and visiting our APM task force group. And I was able to get some stories about the challenges of housing for our older adults here in Portugal. They had to be fortunately. There were the challenges that we have here for our older adults as well.
And I just saw an article about that. I think it was a register that like I think up to 50% of Orange County residents are actively thinking about leaving here because of housing stuff.
August 17th from 9 to 12, we're having our Super Senior Saturday. The theme this year is 30 years of growing forward together. Provide information on Medicare, senior living facilities, local nonprofits, government agencies, and products for seniors. We also have senior medical testing, carotid artery, ears.
Awesome. Is that regardless of insurance type? Or? Is that regardless of what kind of insurance people have?
Right. It's free of charge. You usually get about 500 people.
Wow.
We get it from Cerritos and the surrounding communities.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else?
One thing you may not know about Art, he does moonlight as Santa Claus on he does moonlight as Santa Claus.
Well, I'm really sorry now that we're not going to meet in December.
Ho,
ho, ho. Well, again, thank you, Audubon Agency. Thank you, commissioners. It was a wonderful meeting.